Hello, dear Sun and Splendor community. I welcome you all to the Sun and Splendor podcast. And this is a podcast which gives you so much background about all the organizations we support. And I can welcome today Yvonne Yaneth from the Acción Ecológica. Thank you so much, Yvonne, that you're here. This is so beautiful that you're participating in this podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And hello to you, Maggie, and to all the people that is listening now.
Thank you. Well, I said that you are a member, a starting member of Acción Ecológica. This is an organization in Ecuador, which is doing many, many different projects. I mean, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, who you are, and maybe how you started to work together with the organization Acción Ecológica?
Well, I am Yvonne Llanos from Ecuador. I am a biologist. And in 1986, together with another biologist colleague, we decided to found an environmental organization called Acción Ecológica. And what inspired us, I think that probably it were two reasons. First of all, because as biologists, I think that this idea and the contact with nature and to understand what is happening with ecology and the problems and the situation of nature in Ecuador made us to see that there were many problems that were not solved and nobody were really facing them up. So, and also, we were on that moment like leftist militants, let's say that, at university and together with other organizations. And we thought that the environmental problems on that moment, in Ecuador at least, they were like focused more on the idea of conservation or the idea to see the environmental problems as separated of what is happening, what's happening on that moment. With economics, with policies, with the society. So we decided to create this organization that is Acción Ecológica that understands and faces the environmental problem from an ecological, political ecology point of view, with an analysis of the structures and the powers that are behind of this problem. And I think that now, of course, we elaborate with this discourse. But on that moment, what we wanted to show is that the environmental problems that we were seeing on that moment were not just because of an invisible hand that were creating the problem. We saw in that moment that there were companies, the government, policies that were causing this problem. And immediately what we realized is that the solutions, for sure, they were not be in the hands of the companies, or the government, or the state, but the people should take in their hands the solution to face and to solve all these environmental problems. So this is how Acción Ecológica was born or were founded in 1986, mainly by women. We were three women, three biologists, and until now, Acción Ecológica is an organization that are mainly formed, or the members are mainly women. Now we are a grandmother. So it's already 35 years ago. So yeah, we have grandchildren and we hope that our grandchildren will learn what we have been doing all these years.
Wow, it's quite a long time, 35 years of Acción Ecológica. Did you make a party this year for the 35th year?
And we made a party in the when we were 30, in fact. And on that day, that it was a very tough moment also because the government of Rafael Correa tried twice close Acción Ecológica. Because I think that we are uncomfortable for the economic power and the state plans to continue expanding oil and mining and other infrastructure and projects that harm nature and the human rights. Mm. So that moment, 35 years ago, when we were 30 years old, we organized a big party and a big ceremony, and we gave like 30 recognitions as prizes, not economical prizes, of course, but like a recognition of the efforts of so many local communities in Ecuador and worldwide. And we made like little figures, and we gave this recognition, this prize, to these organizations all over the world. It was very nice. And probably we will have another celebration, but because of COVID, maybe not with the room full, but yeah, symbolically.
It's a bit of a hard situation. How did the work for you change in the COVID time? Did it change a lot, or are there many things you can't do at the moment?
At the first semester of the COVID, I mean, until probably July or August, it was difficult because the core part of the job of Acción Ecológica is together with the community, is monitoring the environmental impact, is talking with the community, is working together for training, for education, for so many things together with the communities. And of course, until July, August of last year was very difficult. But I think that we have to understand how is the reality in the rural areas in Ecuador. If you go there, you can see that, or first, the COVID already arrived and all the population in one community was already sick. So there is like this, how do you say, COVID, when all the population is already had antibodies and mass contagious. I don't know the name of that. Yeah. Herd
situation. All together.
When all the community was already had the COVID already, or there is so isolated, or you know, to live in the outside, it gives you, now that you understand the illness, the COVID, you can live and deal with that. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and also because of the communities understand that if they don't continue fighting and struggling, the projects, the companies and the state will continue, because they didn't stop. They never stopped during the COVID. Mm-hmm. During the COVID, you have the mining companies working, the oil companies working, and logging companies working. So they decided, no, we have to deal with this, with the COVID. And we have to continue. And of course, Acción Ecológica is part also of this way of thinking. And we start again like 5 months ago, 6 months ago, to work again with the communities with all of the biosafety precautions, of course, for us and for them. Yeah, and we continue. Like, the struggle must continue, even with the COVID.
Yes. So your biggest work is in... the work against, I don't like the word against, but you try to really stand up for a better environment in the mining, in the oil, in the logging industry, right? They are the biggest troublemakers in your country at the moment for the climate.
Probably the most well-known environmental problem is the oil activities impact. And when I say against, I don't say against the company or the CEO of the company or whatever, but against the pollution, against the social problems, against the human rights and nature rights violations.
Yes.
So yes, oil is probably the most well known, and also because of the Texaco case that is very well known. You know, Texaco was in Ecuador like for 26 years until 1993, and. Yeah, Texaco left with a very, very huge and serious impact to health and to environment. But also the oil issues in Ecuador is very well known because of the Yasuni proposal. That was a proposal that was presented internationally in 2007. And this proposal called Yasuni was asking to live underground. One fifth of the oil reserves in Ecuador on the ground of a national park that is probably the most biodiverse place in the planet. And also to start to discuss about the idea to have a post-oil Ecuador. That is, and we will be a post-oil Ecuador anyway, because we only have reserves for only 10 or 12 years. So the idea is to start to think that we have to escape this dependency, but at the same time trying to preserve this national park and also to preserve the area where the isolated, self-isolated people, indigenous people live yet still in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. So yes, oil is one important issue. And the second one is mining. And the mining problem, we had like 20 years of resistance to avoid Ecuador to become a mining country. But in 2009, the government of Rafael Correa signed for the first time a huge contract with a Chinese mining company to exploit several metallic minerals. It's an open pit and a large scale mining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and since that year, the mining expansion is very, you know, very aggressive, and is aggressive over indigenous territories and over pristine lands and forests. So mining is also a second and important issue, and together with oil is what we call the extractivism. That is more than the extraction, because the extractivism shapes the economy, shapes the society, shapes the politics, shapes the relations with other countries, shapes many things.
Mm-hmm.
As we can see in Venezuela. I mean, Venezuela is a very, very dependent, extractive, dependent country.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to avoid all of these bad things that happen with extractivism. But that, we have other problems too, of course. We have, for example, the expansion of the agro-industry for export, but also for agro-fuels. And we have the logging, illegal and legal logging problem. And I would like maybe in 1 minute to stop here, because we know, everybody in the world knows that we have to stop to burn fossil fuels if we really want to face up climate change and many problems.
Mm-hmm.
The solution not necessarily roots in the change of every energy consumption must be supplied by renewables at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is happening, for example, right now in Ecuador, that is a huge case, is that, for example, China, Europe, until 2030 and beyond, 2050, they declare that they are going to be carbon neutral, zero emissions, and 30% of renewables. But with which cost? Because to build the aero generators of this windmill.
Yes, for, you know, all the time, grid, all these things.
For the grid, you need wood, not steel anymore. They are changing for wood. Mm. And which wood? Balsa wood.
Okay.
And which is coming from? From Ecuador.
Yeah.
So the renewability in China or Europe will cost huge deforestation in Ecuador. So this is why it's so important, and this is why the extractivism and all of these environmental issues are not particularly the propriety of the problem of one country.
Mm.
We have to dialogue, we have to have international policies and international relations to confront this problem.
Yeah.
So we have oil, mining, agro export, agro industry, we have deforestation, we have the build of dams and hydropower dams that are causing a lot of problems. Anyway, we have several issues that we have to deal with.
Do you have as well agriculture a lot, that the forest is cut down by for agriculture to have many animals to feed them and make soy and all these things? Is that happen a lot too?
Yeah, it happens, but not as much as in Argentina or Brazil, of course. But the principal cause of deforestation in Ecuador is, first of all, the palm oil
monoculture,
that is a huge problem.
Mm.
And of course, the mining and the the, how do you say, urbanization. I mean, the advance of the cities and the roads and things like that.
Yeah.
So this is the main problem of deforestation in Ecuador.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But because Ecuador is a very small country, probably as much as Italy. Maybe we have the same surface, I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
So we don't really have too much extension as much as in Argentina or Brazil or Bolivia or Paraguay. And of course, there the problem of soil culture and soil agriculture for animal feeding is very, very important, much more than Ecuador. But here, oil palm is also a very important problem, of course, and others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was the situation in Ecuador in general when you started the organization? I mean, maybe can you tell us a little bit about how it was when you started and if there have been things already you achieved that changed already? A little bit about this background, what was the last years happening?
Yeah, this is a very, very interesting question because I think that in general, the problems are worse. The problems that we are confronting now and facing now are worse because, you know, it's very difficult, you know, the capitals and the companies and the state power and everything. It's like a David and Goliath fight, you know? Yeah, probably the pollution and everything is worse than when we started. But I think that at the same time, the environmental conscience, the concept of the human rights, and the content and the institutional situation, like for example in Ecuador we have the rights of nature recognized in the constitution. Mm-hmm. So all this is better. We are in a better position in order to fight this problem.
Okay.
Because now everybody understands the situation that the pollution is a crime. Everybody understands that you have environmental and territorial rights. You know that nature is a subject of rights that should be defended. So you have many. I mean, I think that the environmental consciousness and awareness is much more higher, of course. Mm-hmm. So this makes probably, and also another thing that is important is that I think that the social movements have and became a very important actor on the defense of these human and nature rights, but also to defend the land, the seeds, the clean water. And I mentioned the water because I know that for you, for your organization, is so important. So I think, yeah, we have more and more deep problems, but at the same time, more organization and more consciousness of the importance to defend the planet, the earth, the water, the seeds, the life.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I can. I mean, I see the same thing happening here. When you think 30 years back, there was less pollution in general than now. We are more people. We are producing more things. We are consuming more. This is making a bigger number of pollution. But in the end, the awareness and the consciousness is rising. So I have hope that the people are going that way more and faster, that the change is happening. What do you mean? There, when I started to be an activist, many people at the beginning told me, hey, just because you do something, do you think that makes a difference? And many people said, you can't change anything. Do people say that to you? And what do you tell them when they say that? What is your answer to that? What would you say?
I think that there are several levels of struggle. I think for me, the most important is a communitarian or collective talk. I mean, as organization, as a group of people. Of course, together we can fight and we can have better results. But of course, I think that also the individuals, the person, have also a lot to do to fight and to struggle against the environmental problem. So I think that even one person doing something is so important and crucial, and better if this person is part of a group, of a collective, or a community, or an organization. So I think that the levels are completely different. Even in the family, it's completely different. So I think that, yeah, the answer for these people, maybe you can tell them, yes, I am doing my part, and part of my part is also to be part of an organization, of a collective, and to work and to fight together and struggle as a collective. No? And of course, I think that the problem with the Western society is that we think that we believe too much in the institutions and in the state. And I think that, yes, we have to give to the state and the institutions the correct role that they have in this trust. And also for positive and for negative, because of course we know also what is happening with the policies, etc. And the problem is that or the Western society believe too much in the state and institutions and believe too much in the role and the possibility to do things as an individual. Mm-hmm. There are too much individuality. So I think that we have to change this and to think that as a West, for example, in Europe, you can do this so much together with an organization, with a group of people in a collective way. Mm-hmm. And of course, individually too. But at the same time, we have that the state and the institutions at the small scale level, like for example, in a neighborhood or in a small town or in a county, can do much more things to save and to protect the environment and to struggle because of pollution than to have too much expectations on the central government, on the environmental ministry, you know, and things like that. So I think that we have to mix all of these strategies, to lobby to the main government, to work together with the local government, to organize ourselves, and of course myself. I can do many things as a person. So we have to mix all of these. This is what I think that we have to do. And we have to learn and to see how the local communities in other countries, for example, in southern countries, they have been struggling for 30 years. And because they work together as a community, of course, with internal problems, you know, it's not always like a pink cloud.
Yes.
But we have more, we are more strong if we fight together.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in the end, it always starts, every change starts mostly with one person. And when one person comes to another and they talk together, they come together. And then it's creating a bigger group and a bigger impact. Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice. And can you tell me a little bit about what is the background problem? For example, I speak a lot about plastic, right? And then when I try to explain to people what it means when we buy plastic bottles, we have to get oil to make a plastic bottle. And I always talk about the Acción Ecológica because I heard a little bit about the background of the olive oil and what it is doing to the Ecuadorian rainforest. There's a lot of water staying behind, black water, right? When the oil comes out, there is not just oil coming out, but even such black water, what the companies are not using. So this is something which is not good for the environment. And it's like really bad. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yeah. Well, of course, plastic means it's not necessarily a thing. Plastic is almost the representation of a whole civilization now. So I think that, for example, if people can learn a little bit more about, not only in Ecuador, but elsewhere, everywhere, how the oil extraction is causing and polluting the waters and the air and the land, etc., probably they will understand that this local situation has to do with the plastic that is consuming elsewhere, not only in Italy. In the town, city, in Ecuador, in Quito, and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what you are saying is true. When the oil is extracted, it comes with at least two things. First, what we call in Espanol agua de formación, that is the water that is very salty and very polluted that comes together with oil.
Yeah.
And with gas.
Okay.
It's an associated gas. So what happened? When you extract oil, and you separated the water from agua de formación, the dark water. And usually what the companies used to do, like Texaco is, and now until now, is just to put this water in the rivers, in the creeks, or in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And the gas, instead of being used for electricity or just to reinject it, it's cheap for the companies. to burn it. So we have the gas flame. So in one, you have the local problem for the pollution of oil, of the also leaking or spills and the dark water. But also you have a problem linked with climate change, directly, because the gas flaring is emitting CO2, is emitting, when it's not burned, is venting methane and many things. So all of this has to do with plastic. So I think that the problem with plastics is not, is first of all, the link with oil. Second problem with plastics is the waste. Everybody knows and talks about this island of plastics in the ocean. And the microfiber of plastics that is being consumed by us, not only by the ocean creatures, but by us in the tap water and, you know, when we wash our clothes that are made with plastic, you know, so many things. But also, I think that it's important to understand the difference between what is happening probably in Italy than in Ecuador regarding plastic waste and the waste, the solid waste. In Ecuador, we still have people that collect the solid waste that can be recovered and recycled manually and home by home, even in the richest part of the city, everywhere. That is not enough. So instead to the municipalities to take all of this waste and put in creeks and, you know, in valleys or whatever, or try to put under the soil, you know, to cover like the cats do with the waste, put earth on them. What we have to do is to make a very integral policy. Consent of the origin of the plastic, consent of the necessity to reuse and to reject plastic, but also here in Ecuador and probably in other countries like the southern countries, that there are people that live and their income comes from the collecting of the big plastics and cardboard and et cetera that can be recycled. And this would be very useful for this process of recycle the materials. So I don't know how it's been done in Italy. But now I remember that I was in Italy a long time ago. I was in Campania, southern part of Italy. And I remember that they used to put all the European toxic waste and plastic like in big mountains, I remember. So I think that even in Italy, probably you have to think that it would be good to reject the waste from other countries, to reject the use of plastics and everything, and to try to work with the community how to deal with this problem. So it's a very, very complex and integral way of understanding plastics in our society, considering that it's probably the most symbolic representation of what our civilization is seeing now, as a plastic.
Yeah, totally. In Italy, it's a bit similar. We make these big places where we put all the trash, what we don't know how to recycle or how to use or to burn or whatever. We put it there and then we put earth on it. And there are many places, even in South Tyrol, there are some, we put earth on it and then we put plants there and looks, it's growing, it looks nice, but there is all trash underneath. It's not the deal. It's not working. It's not the solution. So we really have to change things. And I think one of the big problems is that we have thousands of different plastics. So all these thousand different plastics have to be produced in a different way and they have to be recycled separately. So this is a very, very big problem.
Cannot be recycled neither.
Many cannot. Yes, exactly. It's a big problem. Yeah. And I think it's a big thing to think about. Okay, we have plastics, what we might need. I have this computer, you have the earphones, I have my phone. This is all plastic, right? So things we use for years. But then there is this other plastic, what we use just one single time and then we throw it. There is a big difference too in that. So maybe people can really understand and see that the single use plastic is so much. And we really, really can get rid of the half of it because we would not need the most of it. We can really do without the most of that.
I think that, of course, not all of them, but it's a step by step, no? I think that instead to drink, you know, the bottle of water that you buy, you can bring yours, you can you can push for the human rights to clean water in the tap water. I mean, everywhere in the world, you should just open the tap water everywhere and you can drink this water.
Exactly.
So this will probably, I mean, and save so many, you know, plastic bottles and...
Exactly.
So this is very, very important. It's a human right of water. Here in our constitution, it's recognized as a human right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to fight. I mean, this is the complementarity, because, of course, I can work, you know, in a campaign of solid waste, and say no more plastic of single use, etc. But at the same time, you have to fight for the human right to clean water and to obligate the states in the different levels to have clean water in your tap water.
Exactly.
Or to fight to against the river pollution. Because in so many communities in the rural areas in Ecuador and everywhere, the people, the only water that they have is the river.
Yeah, exactly.
So they need to have clean water in their rivers.
Yeah.
And also because the rivers are subject with rights also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only a question of human rights, it's also a question of the rights of nature, the nature of the fishes that live in the rivers, and the river itself is like a riverhood.
Yes.
So you need to fight so many things together with this idea of plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's why I'm really happy to work with Sanus Life together. Like the Sanus Planet podcast is part of the Sanus Planet Foundation. And this is a foundation I was able to create together with the company Sanus Life, which is making the water filters to have good, clean water at home. And this is very important, and to really not use these plastic bottles. So this is a really beautiful project. Yeah. Hey, when people donate money to Acción Ecológica, Sanus Planet was donating some. What happens with the money? How do you use it? What do you do with it?
Yes, thank you. We receive like 5,000 euros. And yes, I think that Acción Ecológica, because of experience, of course, and we have so much work to do, that I think that the money is very well spent. In this case, mainly we spend that with the local communities that are being affected by oil activities that polluted the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they polluted the water, and we have a local leaders that are trying to, first of all, to fight against the company that is polluting the water,
mm-hmm.
first of all, organizing ourselves and supporting the local organization.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, many of much part of this money is also going directly to help the local leaders. For example, to travel to the city to make the complaint, you know, to organize the meeting, to
mm-hmm.
make some little papers that can be, you know, distributed among the community. So yeah, we do many things with a few amount of money, I think. In
That's
fact,
pretty cool. Yeah, yes. When I look on your webpage, there's so much what you do. I cannot even choose what to ask you. So it's like really much. And I think I would consider everyone to check out your page. I will definitely put that all in the show notes that the people can follow you and see what you're doing, and they can make a donation themselves if they want. And how else can people support? I mean, people can send you a support by financial support, a donation, but what else do you think is, what else can people do in their homes to support? Is there anything you would like to give as a tip?
Yeah, well, of course, the money support is very important, you know, because Acción Ecológica also has a principle and needs to make visible the existence of an ecological debt, an ecological and historical debt that has the industrialized countries with the southern peoples. This is something historical that should be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that, for example, the well-being and the welfare in the northern countries is because sometimes it's because of the resources from the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the historically the atmosphere was being polluted and caused climate change. So there is something that must be remembered, that is the ecological, social and ecological and historical that exists. So I think this little contribution and solidarity is also this part of saying, yes, we have to recognize that. And this is a very good way to recognize it and to support it. Mm-hmm. But another way to recognize this is to do their own actions in your country. For example, let's consume less plastic, because this will be good, because this will, not only in the case of Ecuador, this will cause that less oil will be extracted, so less local problems and less climate change. Mm-hmm. For example, here in Ecuador, we have the Italian company, we have Eni. Mm-hmm. So you can think in Italy, yeah, our company is probably doing a damage there. So we have to say, no, let's consume less plastic. That means less oil.
Yeah.
Maybe, of course, not necessarily the bottle that you are going not to consume is not necessarily made by the oil of Ecuador or mm-hmm. any. But this is we have to understand that the planet is a global village. And we are part. Yes, we are together and we are related. So, yeah. Consume less, of course, and also I think that to start to organize. I think that it's important to be part of this organization, to be part of this talk. I think that we have to talk. And for example, whom like we are parents, we have children, grandchildren. Even I think that it's very important to talk with our children and mm-hmm. say, listen. I mean, the life that you have is not granted. I mean, we have to understand how Italy became one of the 10 most important economies in the world. It's not because we are very well workers and we have how to do it. No, we are dependent of some resources that are coming from other parts of the world. And probably this is also causing damage. So let's do something about it.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, we have to organize, to talk with our families, to the children at school. And also we have to think about, what is our role in this society and in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Really beautiful. I have, I think I have two more questions. Do you, I mean, you do so much work, you put so much energy into this, you change so many things, but still these big companies are taking out, and it's not just the companies, it's all the people who sometimes don't know the background of all this, right? Of their consumption. Me too, I don't exclude myself. We don't always see the big picture, and we sometimes are part of the problem. Even if we don't want to, sometimes we just don't know it or don't see it yet. Do you ever feel hopeless, or do you have hope for the future?
No, I do have hope. Because can you imagine if everybody will be depressed and think that there is no hope? Any change could be done. Yeah. In Ecumenical Logic, I think that even we have been, you know, attacked by the government, tried to close us. And of course, we see that the oil expansion continues, and, you know, we could be just got our wings and death. No, we want to continue fighting because we think that there is hope, but we think that it's not only hope in the future. Mm-hmm. We think that it's hope if we see the local communities, the indigenous people, the campesinos, the struggle of the women. I think that all of these things that are already happening, mm-hmm. that is the struggling, the organization, the way of life, the love of the land and the seas, etc. This is the hope. And of course, the hope of the future too. Not only for me, for my family, for my organization, for Ecuador. We really think that there is a hope for the humanity. And of course, I don't agree at all with these guys like Elon Musk and, you know, these people that are already thinking that we have to go to live in another planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not the hope. The hope is here, is concrete, and it's a cross-cut with the struggle of the communities, the children, and also it's cross-cut because we really think in the possibility to change the things through the organization, through the struggle in the streets, and of course, with the international solidarity. And of course, solidarity in two things, mm-hmm. because I think that we need your solidarity, but I think that you need also our solidarity, because I think that in the European and the Western and industrialized countries, I presume and I see that there are like less possibilities to fight, to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But so we can work together and we can be solidarity in both sides.
Yeah, that's really nice. I think in the end, this was answering already my last question, but I still ask it. Maybe you want something else to share something else. What is your message at the end now of this podcast? What is your biggest message or the things you have right now in your mind, what you want to share with the community?
First of all, I would like to say maybe three words: hope, organization, and struggle. This is what I guess that people will receive from me, from my organization, from Ecuador, that we cannot lose these three things: the hope, the necessity to struggle in different ways, and to struggle together in the community, in the neighborhood, in the whatever we are, but not individually, but together with other people. And yeah, I think that this is what I would like to say. And that's it. Thank you very much for the conversation.
I say thank you. And I think the whole community enjoyed this podcast and to listen to someone who really worked for so long already, so hard for change to happen. And I speak in the name of the community. We want to thank you so much for all the work you do. This is amazing. And I can just say it one more time. Thank you from deep in my heart. Thank you so much.
Maggie, and sorry for my English, that is maybe not the best. And again, I am Ivonne Llanes from Acción Ecológica, and yeah, it was a pleasure. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. Have a really, really nice day. Bye. Okay.